Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out podcast. That was Full of Hell with a devastating new single, Gasping Dust, that features guest vocals from Immolation's Ross Dolan. And not only is that song a lot to take in on your ears, it's also looking like a big block of nonsense on my computer screen right now. Usually when I have these things up and I'm working through them, it's like a wave. It looks like a heart monitor. Peaks and valleys. Not this track. It's just a pure black bar. And that's kind of fitting for Full of Hell. A pure black bar of noise, metal, hardcore, all things scathing, scratching, with a little bit of despair. It's what we've come to expect and love from Full of Hell. And you can expect more of that from their new album, Coagulated Bliss, out April 26th on Closed Casket Activities. That was the first single. I'm sure there will be more. There is some crazy artwork for the record. I can't even really figure out what's going on. Looks like maybe there's a corpse. Maybe there's a goose. Maybe there's a kitchen. I'm not sure. There's a pyramid, a street. Passing only allowed on one side. There's a portal, I guess. I don't know what's happening here. You should check it out. Google it right now. The cover art for Full of Hell's Coagulated Bliss. I've been a fan of this band for a very long time. That's true. You can check the records. It's out there on the internet. Me reviewing their demos. It happened. So I will be a hipster about Full of Hell. And you can't do anything about it. Except keep an eye on the band and their new album coming soon. On this episode of the podcast, we're talking to a band who just put out their first LP. It's called Social Grace. It's on Prosthetic Records. The band is Brat. They're from New Orleans. We're going to talk about being from New Orleans, releasing their first LP, being on Prosthetic Records, and a whole lot more. But first, it's Hot Zone, baby.
Kick it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury all the places we've been!
I feel like I'm running behind lately on these episodes, and that's okay because there's nobody setting deadlines but me, but I got to get two out a week to get caught up. I got a few in the bank. And if you're interested, of course, a bunch of them are available on the Patreon. Not going to hammer you with an ad there. It doesn't work anyway, but please go subscribe to the Patreon for just $2 a month to get early ad-free access to all interview episodes. This interview was actually an exception. When I first put it up there, I put it up for free for whoever wanted to listen there, hoping that a little preview might do some good. It didn't. Don't worry. You're not the only one who's not willing to pay $2 a month, you cheap fucks. Anyway, it's free for you now here on Getting It Out Podcast, the main feed, everywhere you get podcasts. the place where I want to be talking about basketball, but just can't find all the basketball heads that I need. I need people who play in bands who love basketball, or else you are going to be stuck with listening to me talk about basketball here on Getting It Out podcast. And I don't think that's what you want. Lots of basketball going on right now. The NCAA tournaments are raging for both the men's and women's. I've watched more women's game than I ever have this year. And that's like half. I don't mean that to be shitty or sound stupid. I'm just being honest. I don't watch women's basketball, but I have turned on a couple of the Caitlin Clark games. I have been in a few waiting rooms where they had basketball on the TV and it happened to be women's. And I thought, well, this will do. I got to say, it's probably more competitive than the men's tournament this year. And that's good. That's more exciting. Though I'm not hating on the men's tournament right now because things are looking good for my first bracket ever. Not my first bracket ever that I've ever filled out. The first one that's ever looking like it could be a winner. I got UConn and Purdue in the final. And that's looking promising, but not guaranteed. Put it this way, as long as Purdue doesn't win the whole thing, then I'm good. So there, that was a little bit of basketball talk and not even the usual NBA stuff. I need to get a Punks and Dunks episode out. I do. Anyway, as I mentioned on the open, and as you probably already know, this episode features an interview with Brenner and Liz of Brat. And sometimes their cat was there and sometimes one of my cats was here. It was a lot of cat talk that you guys didn't get to hear. Edited that out, although you might hear us refer to them. Theirs was like in the camera, in their face, not letting Brenner talk specifically, which is kind of a familiar thing a couple of our cats do here. Couple, we have two. I say it like that. It makes me sound like a cat lady. A couple of our cats. There's two. All right. Anyway, cat rhymes with brat. That's why I'm talking about that. Sorry, I didn't mean to go all Eminem on you. It just comes naturally sometimes. You got the rhymes, you know? Ooh, did it again. Can't be stopped. Brat is another example of Prosthetic Records just dishing out the ridiculously good nonsense lately. Recently, I did that interview with Justin Fornoff of Wrist Meat Razor. That record, Degeneration, is available now everywhere alongside Social Grace from Brat. And they got a lot of excellent stuff on their calendar. Don't be surprised if you see me interviewing more Prosthetic Records bands or breaking Prosthetic Records news on gettingitout.net. There's a lot going on over there, too. I released a big new around here article the other day, a big one. It was 20 different artists and bands that I think are worth your time and you should check out. So if you haven't done that, please go over to the website and give it a read. All right. Enough of my yammering. Let's get to my conversation with Liz and Brenner of Brat, but not before we play one of their tracks. This is Hesitation Wound. You guys individually, because I'm curious about how you got here. Not necessarily the band, where the band came from, but the music that Brat plays is like, it's not like introductory hardcore or punk rock. Like, you got to go a couple steps to get there. So how did you guys start falling down this well?
Well, I feel like I'd have to date it back to like middle school to start my punk and metal origin story, I guess. But yeah, I started listening to like punk, you know, kind of like intro to punk stuff in middle school. And then in high school, got into like metalcore and hardcore. And I'm from Dallas originally. And then
that's a shame.
Yeah. Don't I know it? Moved to New Orleans when I was 18 and found out about I Hate God. And so with the whole new rabbit hole for me to explore. And, you know, just New Orleans has a much more like diverse scene with like, you know, grind and death metal and doom and sludge. And so started getting into all that at that point. And so that's why our sound is kind of like a melting pot of a lot of different things.
Sure.
What about your origin story, Brenner?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
It all started when I was 4 years old and I stole my older brother's Rancid CD.
Which one? Siblings,
I think it was Let's Go.
Okay.
I think it was Let's Go. I don't think I got into An Outcome the Wolves until later. But anyway, my siblings are like 11 and 13 years older than me. They're much older than me. So they were in high school whenever I was like going into kindergarten. And my sister dated all the dudes in punk bands in our town. And so that music just kind of found its way into our house. And I was around it a lot. And I was just listening to like a ton of punk and ska until I was a teenager. My first like real show that I ever went to was the Aquabats. I saw them when I was 12. And
yeah,
it was really badass. And then the metal stuff started coming a few years later whenever I got into a band with some friends, like my first band when I was 15. And they introduced me to like really far down the well type shit, like Waking the Cadaver and all that kind of stuff. And then it just started going from there.
That's cool. I like how you both came in kind of two different ways. I don't like I know people like spend a lot of time parsing over this shit with people. I just like to hear it because sometimes there's different ways, different ages too. Like I'd have to guess I'm quite a few years older than you guys, maybe not a ton, but you know, almost 40 this year, you know? So, so my experience just by the nature of the way that music was when I was a kid and how available it was has to be different. So especially when I'm talking to younger people than I am, I want to know how they did it because it's like, I was around for all of it. But I don't know. It just seems like it would be it's obviously a different experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Do you guys hear a cat screaming?
No.
No.
Okay, it's in here screaming. Ours, I'm just wondering yours? If it's picking up. There's two of them trapped down here with me right now. But I was just wondering if it's picking up in the microphone.
No, I can't hear it.
Good. All right.
Ours might jump in at some point too.
Yeah, she loves to come fuss whenever we're doing an interview. So
that's what I found when I was working from home for 2 years. I found that the cat would be here all day long, wouldn't it make a fucking noise, but as soon as I got on these things, something about them, they get riled up.
All right, wants the limelight. She'll come in at some point.
Liz, you mentioned I Hate God, and of course anybody who's talking about extreme music in New Orleans is going to bring up I Hate God, or us. It's maybe not you, but it's going to come up eventually. I remember discovering I Hate God on like Sensory Media comps. I bring up these comps on like every fucking conversation I have. They were called Identity. They were just numbered like Identity 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. I don't know how far it went, but I Hate God was on there, and Sensory Media had all sorts of different bands at the time. Kind of still do, I guess, but it was just like, that's where I found Opeth, but also Marauder was on it and Turmoil. And like, you know, so it was like, you could go like, you could hear fucking Iced Earth and Jag Panzer and whatever. And then Marauder, you know, Master Killer.
Yeah.
Right. So it was cool as hell. But I Hate God was like a band to me that seemed like they were just kind of, I don't want to say mythical. That's there's the cat. Quite an exaggeration. Yep,
what do you know?
But eventually I lived in Baltimore for a handful of years, quite a few. And that somehow became like a place where I Hate God was at all their time, because their manager, Zach Oler, lived there, Extremity Retained. Yeah. So we would get like these yearly, probably more than biannually, I Hate God shows. And they were always big because they'd always have whoever the fuck you wanted on. I got these great posters in my closet of all sorts of great shows. But anyway, my point is that I Hate God went from a band like that I couldn't ever see to a band I could pick and choose which shows I went to. So I'm just curious how it is. I know sometimes living in a city or around an area, sometimes the band that's from there isn't necessarily that present, at least that easy to see. Was that the case, or what was it like? What is the presence of I Hate God like in New Orleans?
I feel like they play New Orleans at least once or twice a year. So
yeah, sometimes more than that.
Yeah. Too. So there it's definitely cool. Like there's definitely no shortage of like being able to see them, which is awesome.
But you know, they also they're road dogs. They tour so much. that I feel like they play most cities in the US like twice a year.
Yeah.
And funny you mentioned Zach Oler, because he's also our booking agent.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So we love Zach.
Yeah. We've been working with him for like a year and a half now. So
very cool. He booked my bands. Well, he books us on a couple of shows, but our record release show with with Agnostic Front, Sheer Terror. It was a great show. It was a great show for a awesome stupid band to jump on and release a 7-inch on. I'm like, yeah, this is our show, you know? That's very cool. So when does Brat start?
Yeah. So we started right before COVID hit. Yeah, maybe like, I don't know, 2 weeks or something before COVID, we decided to start Brat and start writing. And then the whole world shut down. And Brenner actually had a tour planned with his other band that got canceled right at the start of COVID.
Yeah. The band got canceled or the tour got canceled?
The tour got canceled. Yeah. My bad. The tour got canceled.
Very distinct.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously with COVID, we had plenty of time to like work on the new band and writing and stuff. But it was also kind of like a double-edged sword because, you know, COVID lasted so long that we were sitting on it for a long time. Like we were ready to rip and couldn't do anything with it or play a show or like whatever for a while. Yeah, so it kind of delayed things in that aspect too.
We had it under wraps for, I don't know, 16 months before anybody knew about it.
That's a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we, I mean, you know, that's all the time it took to write the music and get a band together and all learn the songs together, record. Cause we had those first two EPs recorded before we were even announced as a band.
That's awesome.
So we wanted to have everything ready to go out the gate. So even though we were sitting on it for a while, it gave us plenty of time to get all our ducks in a row so we could make as much of a splash as we could to start.
That's very cool. I feel like that was not always the way to do it, right? I mean, I know it wasn't always the way to do it, to have like the shit recorded, ready to go at the first show. And I remember distinctly the first time a band in this area did it and was like, holy shit, this is way better. Like everybody left with the demo, you know, it was like, I remember just handing them out the cars as they pulled in.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess we're, you know, like you're going to make an impact like that. And especially the way today is with how easy it is to, I know people say the same shit all the time, the short attention spans, but it's true. I know somebody like myself, who's I constantly make an effort to listen to music. I have my earbuds right here. All day long, I sit at my desk hours and hours just constantly playing shit, and I still forget about stuff real quick.
Yeah, so, totally.
So to come out with an impact right away is very smart, obviously. But 16 months to sit on stuff, that's a long time. Was that discouraging?
It was kind of frustrating just because I was like, you know, we're ready and we're excited about it and we want to be like, hey, here's our new band, whatever. And like, you're just like waiting until it's like, okay to do that again, you know? So,
Yeah,
it was frustrating, but what can you do?
Did that change your expectations of, or I don't know, what were your expectations starting Brat, knowing you're playing the type of music that you were obviously writing and performing? What did you think would happen with Brat? What did you want to happen, I guess?
I don't know. I don't feel like we really had any concrete expectations, just that we wanted to, you know, put out music that we like and do some tours and just kind of
fun shows.
Just see how it went.
So then if there was no expectations, I'd say you've probably already exceeded whatever you had, right?
Oh yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I knew like I wanted to like put a lot of work into it and try to make it, you know, as good as it could be. But yeah, it's definitely like moving at a crazy pace. So
yeah,
that's been really exciting.
Snowballed a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I didn't consider or know that you've been only a band officially for 4-ish years, maybe.
Not even three.
Not even three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive then to get this far. And the branding, I know that word's corny as fuck to use, but the branding of the band, was that something that you knew you were going to do from the beginning? The what do you call it? Barbie grind, bimbo violence, whatever the fuck words you want to use. Was that like, we're going to do this and we're going to lean into it hard?
No, that was definitely like not what we were thinking going into it. Like we knew we wanted to use the pop samples during our live show.
Right.
That's where it started, honestly.
Yeah. I think that making the decision to do that just kind of like was the foundation for everything else. And then, you know, while we were in that time of just sitting on it, we hadn't really figured out a band name for a while. And our working title was Scuzz. And we just didn't like, we were like, I don't know about it. And then when we picked Brat, it was just like that with the pop samples, like that kind of, now like things started to come together and like have like a clear picture. And then just kind of like, as we played shows, we kind of started to like lean into that a little bit more. And then I thought that the term bimbo violence would be funny. And then it just kind of like stuck and became like our thing.
Yeah, it definitely happened more gradually than, rather than being just like a
planned thing,
like a very intentional thing from the get go. Cause like, we just let it be like a fun thing to do the pop samples and keep the show really fun and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, as we were playing our first handful of shows and like people were like moshing and dancing and stuff to the samples in between the songs and stuff and like getting really into it, we were like, oh, we definitely got to lean into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes a little bit of a gimmick isn't such a bad thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And I mean, we just want it to be fun, you know, like keep the live shows really fun.
Well, if Brenna started with Aquabats, you knew you had to have a little fun, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking Aquabats. I was never an Aquabats guy, but I was like a 90s third wave ska guy. I did one of these, I guess it was around fall of last year with Scotty Heath, who runs Tank Crimes Records. And I think we just started talking about ska like Buck 09 and it just went for hours, you know, just on that nonsense, but good nonsense.
Yeah. I got to put Brenner on blast. He has like a ska half leg sleeve of like a tattoo with a bunch of different
stuff. Yeah. My first tattoo I got like 2 days after I turned 18 was, I got the specials guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spanking. So
nice. That's good. I'm thankful. I always bragged about how punk rock and hardcore I am, that I'm almost 40 and I've been doing this for over 20 years and I have zero tattoos. Like that became like my thing eventually. It was like, nah, fuck you, dumbasses with face tattoos. I got zero tattoos. Who's cooler?
Yeah.
You know?
That's same. No neither, tattoos. Neither does and I don't plan on it.
Neither does our bassist, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. It's either, I think you got to go one or the other. Or so,
totally.
At this point, it's almost like the rebellious thing to not have tattoos.
That's right.
In the sort of world.
Who's laughing now?
I was just at Disney World last week with my family. And I said to my wife, tattoos mean nothing anymore. It annoyed the shit out of me because I would see people with tattoos and I'd be like, these are my people. I can, you know, and I'd like wait for them to turn around and maybe see a band t-shirt or something, but it never was. You know, once you get a little closer, you can just tell like, he's not one of us, but he looks like he's one of us, you know, but everybody does. Everybody's, you know, it used to be a thing. You see a guy with tattoos and a black t-shirt, like that's a dude. And then it wasn't, you know.
No, it's true.
Yeah. It's weird. Anyway. All right. So I think it was over the summer. I don't remember when exactly your announcement was official that you had paired up with Prosthetic Records, who's actually a label that I love and I love working with. I've been doing stuff with them for a long time. And I've just been listening to their bands forever too, you know, so there's also that. But you made some images, maybe just one, maybe I saw about like announcing who you're going with, like almost like a college signing day, you know, which I thought was
really cool.
But did that cause any issues doing that? Did anybody get pissed off at you?
You know, it's really funny that you say that. I'm not going to name names, but no, we had no issues at all. And then maybe like three weeks ago, and we made that post, you know, six months ago.
Yeah.
We had one of the labels on there like DM'd us and was like, hey, can you take this down? No shade, but I just don't want to be like associated with something that has nothing to do with me or something. We're like, what the fuck? So we deleted it. But like, I was like, that was 6 months ago. Like, what?
Yeah,
it was strange.
Yeah, it was kind of just like weirdly, slightly aggressive, but also not. But also a little bit.
Yeah, you know? I think we're just like reading too much into it, but it did feel a little bit like a little shady, maybe. I don't know. But
that's funny because when I saw it, I thought, I think someone's going to get mad at that.
See, that thought hadn't even occurred to me. Like, I did not think that was like, maybe I'm naive, but I didn't think that would cause an issue at all. So
I thought maybe because of the level of labels you had, this makes sense. All right. So I do a lot of times I try to make a sort of effort to do a lot of these with record label people. I think it's really fun. Actually, the last one I put out was with Reptilian Records, which is basically noise rock. But depending on like the level of label, certain people take a lot of ownership over that, you know, like, and it's, mm-hmm. and like, it's like their band, right? They give a shit about it so much that, so I don't know who it would be. I don't even remember which other labels were on the thing, but I was like, I think someone's going to get a little butthurt over there. And, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, no, you were spot on. It didn't occur to me at all. So
funny. At least like we made it like several months past, you know, so that, right. By the time we took it down, it's like, oh, nobody's going to notice that this post is just mysteriously missing.
Yeah, I was like, how did this person even like go find this post from like 6 months ago?
But yeah, a little bit of effort involved there.
That's the internet. Yeah.
Well, everything lives forever on the internet anyway. It does, and I remember it. Now we're talking about it here, so it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about pairing up with Prosthetic. Why Prosthetic?
So Prosthetic reached out to us like pretty early on, like, I think maybe like the first year we were a band.
Yeah, on our second tour.
Yeah, our second tour, which we did our first two tours, just like us DIY booking it. And they reached out to us. And at that point, we weren't even ready to like start talking to record labels. Like we wanted to get a booking agent first because we wanted to just tour more and like get out there a little bit more before like delving into record labels. So we like held off. And then, you know, another year or so last summer, I guess, we'd finished the record and we're like, okay, like maybe we should see if we want to put this out with anyone. And, you know, talk to some labels, and Prosthetic ended up just being what we felt like was the best fit.
Well, I don't know. Tell me about a little bit more about not wanting to be with a record label. Well,
I mean, I was just kind of like wary of labels, I guess, to an extent, because you hear a lot of like label horror stories. Sure, and for me, like I knew our priority at the time was like we wanted to start touring and we wanted to do, you know, try to get some support tours and like, you know, a record label can help you with that, like, you know, that's obviously not what they're there for,
right?
So I just like wanted to deal with that before getting involved with the label and just be like really careful about, you know, signing to a label. Cause you know, you never know, like we've been really lucky so far. Prosthetic's been great, but like, you just never know how things can go.
Right.
Sure. It's very smart. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Thank you.
And also looking back, like how much we were touring at the time, you know, whenever you sign to a label, they expect that first album fairly quickly, like within a handful of months, you know. So like we didn't have the record ready until a year after that. So like we wanted to kind of take things at our own pace for that sort of thing and just get out on the road as much as possible. And we, before we even reached out to any labels, we had the masters for the record in hand, like ready to go. And that's kind of ideally where we wanted to be.
So you've been ahead of the game recording kind of this whole time.
Yeah, we recorded over the course of like a year.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Year and a half. We just did batches of like two or three songs in between the tours. Because we also all work you know, full-time jobs at home. So it's not like in between tours, we just have all day, every day to write music. You know, our schedules allow us to only get together once a week and stuff like that. So we would just do as much as we could, which would be recording two or three songs, like writing and recording those two or three. And then after a year and some change, we had enough songs for a record.
That's interesting, because I can't tell that there are different record. I've listened to the record a lot, by the way. I can't tell that they're all recorded or they were recorded in different sessions.
That's great.
Maybe that's the nature of the music too, you know, but yeah. I think, but still there's always a risk of that being pretty evident.
Yeah.
Right. For sure. And, you know, was a little bit worried about that, but, you know, and us being super meticulous about it because we're hearing our own shit. You know, like I can hear like slight differences in like snare tone from song to song and stuff like that. And I could tell that these were in different sessions, but nobody else is going to be able to hear that.
Yeah, also, definitely not me. I can't ever hear that shit. I sat in a recording. I say this all the time, but we were recording for one of my only band, our 7-inch, one of our records, whatever. And with a pretty good, you know, producer, Kevin Bernstein, Developing Nations, who did a lot of Full Hell stuff. He's he used to do all like the A389 stuff. Anyway, still does great stuff. And there was a conversation about notes. And I was just sitting there like, what the fuck is anybody even talking about? I don't hear a thing. Like, I don't hear anything that you guys are saying. So maybe my ear is not the best to say, hey, guys, I can't tell a difference. So don't take it from me, but I can't tell a difference. So
that's good. Yeah. But, it's with your, you know, with your own music too. It's like,
you're going to hear everything.
Microanalyze every little thing.
And also like, if anything, I feel like those slight differences might keep it from sounding too homogenous. Like I like a record where everything sounds a little bit different all the way through. It just kind of keeps things a little more sonically interesting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's great. So Social Grace is the name of the record. Comes out again, March 15th. It'll be out by the time people see this, hear this. That's already said that. But why is it called Social Grace? How did that become the title track? And also I wanted to mention before I forget that I think it's really cool that I think it's the last track, right?
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. That it's like one of the singles, but also the last track. Anyway, just wanted to say that.
Yeah. We were kind of unsure about that whenever we did it, honestly.
Yeah. Like, you thought of the name. So again, I guess it's kind of like what we usually do where we like work backwards. But we had the album art before we had the name of the album. Hmm. The album art's like a childhood photo of me and my family.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, looking like a little demonic little brat. And but I'm in this like, you know, flowery dress. And I guess that you came up with the name. So I guess you could probably better explain your thought process.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed fitting, you know, the just we really lean into like the dichotomy of how our music sounds versus the look of our packaging and aesthetic and whatnot. And, just with the photo, it seemed like it would fit everything we were doing.
And we just like that. It's like you hear Social Grace and your mind doesn't immediately think, oh, that's like a metal or hardcore album. Like, right. And that's kind of just like what we like to do with a lot of our, like, you know, vibe, I guess.
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of the turn. The I don't know if I'm even using this phrase right, but like the turn of a phrase, like the dichotomy, I guess, would be like you just said, just the way things can mean different things. Or that's not the word either. What is the word? You guys tell me.
Juxtaposition.
That'll work. The contrast of things.
Yeah, the contrast. Yeah.
We know what we're trying to say. Right? We're getting close.
Definitely.
So is there like, is there supposed to be a theme to this record, a concept of any type?
I definitely wouldn't call it like a concept album or anything like that. But I write pretty much all the lyrics, and there's definitely like a concurrent theme. But I wouldn't say it's like a concept album or anything like that.
Yeah. Be a little weird if it were. Given the nature of the music, if it was like.
Right.
The theme is death and destruction.
Yeah, that would be fitting. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Despair and hopelessness.
That's kind of fun stuff. Most of the songs focus on that.
has your commitment to the aesthetic, commitment to the aesthetic, has that had any negative things or pigeonholed you in ways that's annoying at all?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely like can turn people off for sure. Like a lot of people see like pink and are like, this is dumb, you know, like what it's obviously people. Yeah, right. Like, this is gay. Like, and you know, like that, it comes with the territory when you do something like that. Like, obviously not everyone's going to like it and people are going to be like, this is cringe or whatever. But it's like, it's just like, it's so fun. It's like, you just gotta put your ego aside and like, just enjoy it. And like, for like
the ego death, isn't that the first track?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It didn't even occur to me, but yeah, no, it's just, yeah, it does turn some people off, which we get it.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to like it.
But honestly, like I kind of enjoy pissing those sorts of people off because, you know, people who aren't open to just kind of letting loose and having fun anyway aren't really my kind of people. So
yeah, we have had like some, I guess, reviews that one kind of like negative thing that's come from this is like we do get compared to other artists that have like a similar aesthetic, but have like no similar, like we get compared to like pop punk artists or like pop artists. And it's like, we're not even like remotely in the same, like,
no, that's gay.
Yeah. It's like, what? So that's like kind of a weird thing that people do. They're just like, oh, pink and women, you must be like this other pink women band.
Right.
Sounds nothing like you, you know? So
yeah. Just like, just assuming that we're trying to fit into the same niche, which is, you know, couldn't be further from the truth.
I was going to say, couldn't, yeah, I wouldn't, like, how could you listen? And
yeah, it's really strange that like people try to do that.
And also you guys approach it with a sense of humor too, which is evident in the music videos that you've done. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I feel like the message that you're delivering is really obvious. And maybe that's too obvious for people. I think that so many people just don't know when to laugh anymore and when to take things seriously. And that's part of the issue, but
totally.
All right. So you did, speaking of music videos, you released two music videos for this so far. I think I know there's three singles, right? Human Offense. Is it Offense?
Offense. Yeah.
Offense. All right. Human Offense.
Human Offense and Social Grace. And Hesitation.
Yeah. Those are the two videos.
Oh yeah, we do have three videos actually.
Is it three? Is there a video for
A video for Human Offense too,
I must not be recalling it at the moment. But the other two are fresh in my mind, though. Which, of course, like I mentioned, is there's a bit of your humor in there. Is that important to portray, like, that we're having a good time?
Definitely.
It's funny too, because like the Social Grace video is the first video where I like was like, I have like a really clear concept of like what I want for this video. Like the other two we had done before that were just kind of like us just on the fly. And I was like, I have like something like fully in mind for this video. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I wasn't even like trying to make it be like funny. And then it just ended up funny. And we're like, fuck, like we can't make anything serious. But like, that's just like, I don't know. I think that's just kind of who we are.
Yeah.
So, that's a good problem to have.
Just
though.
Make it fucking campy, you know?
Yeah.
Like I told you, I listened to this record a bunch of times. A lot of times I listened to it like on repeat while flying the other day. And,
Hell yeah.
It was cool. But the track that I'm focusing on that I keep coming back to is, I think it's Rope Drag.
Dude, Rope Drag is the one that everyone's been talking about.
The riffs,
about
man, the riffs on that one are killer. And, that's the one. So like, I like that it wasn't a single, or at least hasn't been yet. I don't know what your plans are.
It's not.
Or if you're done, but I like that. It's like kind of, I think it's, I'm not looking at the track list right now, but I think it's kind of like right in the middle of the record. And it's cool. I was running earlier today and I had it on and I just kind of got, you know, had to pull out the phone out of my pocket and be like, yeah, that's the one. Like I know.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
So it's, I always think it's interesting which songs, bite, which songs become fan favorites. Have you found a formula, the thing that you find that Brat fans like? Is there like a thing?
No. Not really, honestly. We actually had a decently difficult time picking the singles on the album. Because like I like to write riffs that are kind of hooky. So like normally you'd pick I feel like the hookiest ones on the record to be the singles or whatever.
Right.
But I like to have like kind of earwormy riffs in almost every song. So that kind of makes it hard to pick which one. That first riff in Rope Drag though, like the lead one, our bassist Hennessy wrote that for his other band, which is called Congealed Putrescence. They're a death metal band from here.
They better be with a name like that.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be weird if they're shoegaze. Else.
Yeah. But for whatever reason, they didn't want to use it, and he brought it to us, and we were like, yeah, that's badass.
We'll take it. Take the riff.
That's a good score. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Well, tell me about the feedback you've gotten so far for the three tracks. I'm sure there's been some record reviews out, being that you're this close to the release, but overall, what's the word been on Social Grace? Actually, let me ask it this way. What's the word been from people, you know, like the band, and from critics?
Yeah. So far, I mean, like we've had maybe like, you know, 10, 12 reviews on the album so far.
The critic reviews.
Yeah. Like critic reviews. And they've all been good, except for we had like one that was like a 6 out of 10, but everything else has been
6 out of 10 is not that bad.
Everything else has been like, you know,
I wrote reviews for years, and when you want them to be bad, you make sure they're a 5 or lower. You know what I mean? Like, you say this failed.
Yeah.
Like a 6 out of 10. Look, man, yeah. I got through high school with 60%. So
passing, right?
That being said though, you know, obviously not gonna name the publication or anything like that, but that's what we were talking about earlier. Their reasoning for that score was that they were thinking that we were trying to occupy that same niche as like the pop artists and stuff.
It was a miss.
Yeah. It was wrongly interpreted, but you know, to each their own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But everything else has been great. Like we've had really good response so far. Like all the other reviews we've had have been like mostly 8 or 9 out of 10s. And like, so we're excited that like it's so far, I mean, I guess we'll really find out when it comes out. But so far everything's been good.
Yeah. It's been really well received so far from what we've read.
And like the singles, I think, have gone over pretty well. So I'm excited for it's come out.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah. What do you, that's a question I like to ask. What are you most looking forward to about the release of the record?
I just also have no idea what to expect. Cause like, never released an album before. So, I'm like, I don't even
fair.
Know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even know what, and it's funny. Actually, I was on the phone with my mom the other day and I was like, oh yeah, the album comes out on Friday. Like, she's like, yeah. So I'm like, it'll be like, you know, in stores and online and everything. And she's like, so like, what happens when it comes out? And I was like, I don't know. I don't really know, to be honest.
What do your families think of Brett?
You gonna go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Mine's the kind of downer. But so my sisters, I have two twin sisters. And one of them was like the person who got me into like punk in middle school. And so they get it and they're very supportive.
So they're also on the cover of this record too?
Yes, those are my two sisters and my dad.
And they're twins, but they're very different in height.
Yeah, they are. They're fraternal. Right. They look nothing alike, but yeah. And then my mom was taking that picture, so she's not in it. But my parents are not stoked on it. You know, they have like traditional values, and like, I think it's interesting because they see that it's, you know, got a little bit of success going. So they're like, they kind of respect that part of it, but you know, they're not, it's been hard to get them on board.
Right.
So I don't think this is what they wanted me to be doing in my 30s, which is fair. But right. Yeah.
Look, as a parent, I think I'd be a little weird of my kids.
Yeah.
Even the shit that I love this shit. And I think they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Like, well, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, maybe not. But yeah. But we're working on it. So you know.
Yeah. My family's been pretty great. My parents have always kind of been party animals, and I've been playing in bands since I was like 14. So
is it safe to say, sorry to interrupt you, that you guys kind of have different, like totally different parental figures, I guess. Yes,
completely opposite. Okay. Right.
Yeah. polar opposite.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've been playing in bands since I was like 14 years old, which is more than half my life at this point. So that's just kind of, you know, what they have come to expect from me, and they're super supportive, and yeah, it's great. This is her first band also. So
that's pretty good for a first band. Yeah.
So it's not like her parents have had like her whole life.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, they definitely were like, I think, you know, because I've been going to shows since I was a kid, and I think they were like, oh, you know, this is a phase. And now they're like, I guess it's not a phase. You know, I guess you're still doing this in your 30s, but, and you're going even further with it. But so I guess I get it, you know. Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, it's to be expected, I guess, you know, both reactions. I could see myself on both sides of it. And I you know, who knows? You never know until you're there, especially like, again, being a parent, like all these things that you think you're going to be like, and then like you get like in the situation, you're like, oh, I'm not as fucking cool as I thought I was. You
know? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. 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 But okay. So, any plans that have already been announced or that you can talk about for Brack going forward?
What's out there in the universe right now is in about 2 weeks, we're doing like a short string of dates through like kind of Appalachia. We're doing like Chattanooga.
Appalachia, man. It's Appalachia. Come on, you're going to get Southerners pissed. You are a Southerner, aren't you? Wait, are you a Southerner?
Very different region.
You say Appalachian Trail, right? Did you say Appalachian Trail?
I would, because I'm from Pennsylvania. Really? But my friends from Appalachia would tell me that I'm like a Yankee about it or something.
Yeah.
Is people calling me Yankee a problem? Saying Yankee a problem? Can I say it? Cause I am it.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. Right.
Only you though. But
can't say it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm from the swamp. I'm a different kind of South than that.
So. Right.
But yeah, we're doing like Chattanooga, Knoxville, playing a fest in Richmond at the end of the month, and then one more show in Asheville. And then we're doing like a month, starting at the end of April. We're doing like Midwest and West Coast. And what's announced on that already is we're doing Northwest Terror Fest in Seattle.
That's cool.
On May 9th. And then about a week after that, we're doing 4 dates with MDC in California and them in DI.
And nice. That's very very throwback there.
Yeah. It'll be cool.
Yeah. And so we're building like a whole tour around that. So we're doing like 2 weeks or so before Northwest Terror Fest, a week in between Northwest Terror Fest and the MDC dates, and then some dates home. So
yeah. And those will be with Bong and Ader.
Yeah.
And then we'll hopefully have another fest around that time. That's not confirmed. So, and then we got some other like fests in the works for later this year, but not confirmed yet. Some other tours potentially, but yeah.
So a lot of shows. You got a lot of shows.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of United States shows, a lot of shows domestically.
Yeah. We haven't gone outside the US yet. So we're hoping to
next year.
Yeah. Or maybe some Canada this year, maybe, but definitely next year.
You're North Americanists. So what we're coming away from here is that you guys are America first. Sorry. I'm just trying to make
freedom,
up shit,
baby. But, yeah.
I can hear free. I can hear the eagles screeching in the background.
That's right.
Human rights.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Liz and Brenner of Brat. The song you just heard was the title track, Social Grace, which acts as the closing track to the album of the same name and does so here in closing our interview. How fitting, how wonderful, how smart of me to do that there, except it's not over. You got me again. And you know what happens right here. I thank Liz. I thank Brenner. I thank Prosthetic Records. I thank you. I thank everybody who's willing to put up with me and do these podcast episodes and listen to what I have to say, even though I know you're not listening to me, you're listening to the guest. I get that. Don't worry. I just use it as a platform to take advantage of the open ear holes. And there's a lot worse things people can do with open ear holes than what I do. I'll let you use your imagination. I won't suggest anything. I won't talk about what people sometimes like to put in ear holes. Pencils. That's what they did on the cover of the Butthole Surfers album, right? I don't know. It's better than popcorn. Have you ever noticed that kids like putting popcorn kernels up their nose and they get stuck and they got to go to like the hospital to get them out? It's happened several times to a lot of people that I know. It's a strange phenomenon. I wonder if it still happened. Maybe it was the Pokemon craze. I don't know. Why does that make sense? It doesn't. I'm just saying things now. All right. Anyway, thanks to you. Thanks to Brat. Thanks to Liz. Thanks to Brenner. Thanks to Prosthetic. Thank everybody in the world under the light of the Lord for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I know I did. They were fun to talk to, and that's not always the case, but it's mostly usually the case. But it's always cool when it's a good time. So as I wrap this one up, I want to encourage you to head over to gettingitout.net, check out what's going on over there. I'm working on a review for the Anthems from the Heartland compilation from Rejected Youth Records. And every day I'm posting new bands up there. And eventually there'll be a new around here article. And one of the bands that'll be included there is Cape Town, South Africa's The Talon. They're a brand new metallic hardcore band from the area. Their debut single, Hateful Thing, has been out now for a month. And I'm going to share that for you right here, right now. Thank you for listening. This is Hateful Thing by The Talon. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.